Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
Saturday, March 5th, 2022. Morning, Rick. How are you doing?
Doing good. I'm just glad we've all made it here.
Yeah.
You know, as a planet.
Right? Yeah, no. We've talked about a lot of different things in the past on our various platforms that we may or may not have. And, I mean, I think I remember it was it the 2020 predictions where it was boots on the ground in China was one of the predictions for that year from one of our other co-hosts on a different show we do.
I don't even remember what we said. I mean, 2020 turned into so upside down that whatever predictions we made at the beginning of it, you know?
I was speaking with my wife the other day about that, like just about the, cause she's like, I'm so tired. And I, you know, you hear it from everybody. Everybody's exhausted. We've had basically 2 years of chaos, more or less. I mean, just of
infighting. It was basically 2 years ago when it shut down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost 2 years exactly. And now we've got this new threat back in the, you know, in Eastern Europe again. And it's feels like, oh man, it's the 80s and late 80s and early 80s and maybe even a little bit of the missile crisis from Cuba back in the day. It's all starting to come back.
Yeah.
As much as we wanted to act like we were so enlightened and so advanced, it's still there. We haven't changed as a society.
Now, humanity has not evolved. I mean, our technology has, but I mean,
that's all that's changed. Always go back to that same thing where we act like we are so far advanced. And so, and here's the funny thing, right? Like you sent me a podcast. What was the name of the podcast? I didn't remember that.
Tom Woods Show.
They were basically talking about how, and this is something we've talked about too. Like, I mean, gold standard and the Bitcoin standard are very much, they have the same ideals, but every time it's the gold standard, like it works for a while until humans get involved.
Yep.
And it's the same thing when you look at communism, right? On communism on paper is beautiful till you get people involved.
Yep. Well, honestly, it even goes back to money itself. You know, you can create some type of money, whether it's tulips or, you know, what are the shells that grow up on ships, you know, that the Native Americans were using when Europeans first came over. But
the barnacles.
Yeah, they screw it up, though.
Mm-hmm.
They game it. They try and break it.
Human nature every time. I mean, and you've seen that in the past where gold was this. It's brought, like, when everything goes onto a true gold standard, and for the few years that it actually works before greed and everything gets into everybody's minds, like there's a lot of prosperity that takes place during those times. Until they start clipping the gold, and the, you know, they start reducing the amount of gold that's in the coin, and it's still supposed to be the same value. I mean, there's always a way to game it, right?
Exactly. And
I think the beautiful thing about Bitcoin is you cannot game that analog or the protocol, you know, the algorithm.
It's true. And its procedure is set out on how it generates Bitcoin.
Yeah. It doesn't care what your demands are. Doesn't care who you are. It's going to continue to chug along as long as there's at least a couple computers running. I mean, it doesn't even have to have the hugest hash rate. And that was one of the first things I was going to look at is we had actually our first difficulty reduction in 2022 that took place this week.
Yes.
So basically we did hit an all-time high with hash rate where we were up at, this even says on CoinWars, we were up to 261 exahashes. And currently we're down to 171 exahashes. So we've seen a difficulty spike and then we've kind of seen a reduction. But I mean, by no means are we down below where we were before. But I think this also could be tied in with what's going on kind of in Eastern Europe and Russia. Because I do believe there's some mining that goes on in those locations.
No, it's kind of an interesting point, especially when Putin was talking about potentially, you know, working on Bitcoin mining and stuff in Russia. And I know Ukraine, you know, they had a fair bit of mining set up over there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they totally did. Especially, I mean, you see the nuclear plants that Ukraine had. Because Ukraine is also the home of Chernobyl, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, they've been big proponents of nuclear energy for a while. Obviously, it ransacked them in some way due to whatever. Did you ever watch that HBO series on Chernobyl?
Yes, it was fantastic.
Was it? What was the cause of the meltdown? I'm not even sure.
I can't even remember the specifics on it, but they had some procedure that they're trying to run some tests on the cores, and there was a sudden spike in it that shouldn't have happened, or they weren't prepared for it to happen, and it exploded and it turned into a huge mess. Huh. And basically just pointed out that there was, according to the show, there was a design flaw that the Russian scientists didn't see, and it blew up in their face, basically.
That's so crazy. Crazy, crazy. And then we're seeing like kind of the rhyme where you see bombs getting dropped on a nuclear energy plant currently. You know, yeah. Nuclear reactor. It's like, whoo, let's repeat all this stuff all over again. For sure.
Well, honestly, Belarus is one of the countries that got screwed pretty bad too, because they kind of share that border with Russia. And there's chunks of Belarus that are uninhabitable.
Because of the Chernobyl? Fallout. Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe it, because, I mean, that was a pretty big one. I mean, it's synonymous with nuclear meltdown is Chernobyl, right? I mean, when you think about that, you think about those haunting images of the amusement parks and everything else in that town that are just...
Yeah, but in Pripyat, that's basically just everything's was picked up and abandoned like a day later or whatever, you know?
Yeah, and when you think about that, when you look at that city, it looked like it was actually a pretty nice-looking city. Especially,
it was one of the most advanced cities in the Soviet Union.
Yep. Yeah. The wife and I were talking about that, you know, Eastern Germany and stuff like that, and how behind the times they were when, you know, at the height of the Cold War, whenever the Berlin Wall came down. Not the height of the Cold War, but the end of the Cold War. When that Berlin Wall came down and we saw really what it was like on the opposite side of that Iron Curtain that existed.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, like, there was a lot of interest in America trying to pump up Russia and their capabilities so we needed to build up our military for this, that, and the other, because they're ahead of us. But there's nothing ahead of us about, you know, communism.
No.
They were very backwards.
Yeah, they just didn't have the... Well, and I guess that's something to be said about the way capitalism was driven, right? True, well, and I mean, I can't even say true capitalism, because we've never lived in a true capitalistic society here in the States anyways.
Yeah. Well, and that's the whole deal. Everyone says that's not real communism. And it's like, well, you might have a point, but anytime we go close to communism, it turns to crap. You know, and anytime there's closer free markets, as close to free markets as possible, those societies tend to flourish. So,
yep. Yep. Well, and so kind of interesting talking about that is, like, right now we talk about miners, and all the miners currently come out of China for the most part, like Bitmain and Avalon, stuff like that. They're all manufactured in China. And now Intel's entering the fray. Have you seen that?
Yes.
They're coming up with their own ASIC miners.
I thought that was very interesting.
And I mean, that's actually, I think that's a good thing again, right? Because you want that competition. You don't want China to dictate what the current hash rate and what the... I mean, because if you don't have competition, you don't have anything making your products better. Because I mean, I think even Intel's coming out with their miners are a little bit more efficient. When I say a little bit, I want to say it was like a 20% difference between what the best of what Bitmain has and what Intel was going to come out with, which is only going to make them want to be better. Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, if you owned your mining rigs and you could save 20% on your power consumption.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely huge. Because we talked about that whenever we were looking at something else in the past, right? Like, basically, your hash rate goes up and it doesn't, you know, your efficiency of electricity goes up. like it gets better for the amount of exahashes or the hash rate that you actually get from the miner itself. And when you see this kind of a leap currently with the miners that, you know, we were getting from Bitmain, I think at the time, what was it, 119 terahashes or exahashes? What was it? Terahashes, right?
Yeah, it was terahashes.
That you could get from like the top of the line S19 Pro. And I think, let me see if I can pull this up real quick. Intel ASIC miner. I'm just going to see if I can pull up this. I should have planned this beforehand. I didn't think we were going to talk about money, but we kind of were going to talk about money.
That's all right. Well, when we looked into it, they were just impossible to get.
Yeah. Okay, no, I was off. So it says ultra low voltage energy efficient Bitcoin mining ASIC. Intel aimed to reduce overall power consumption by approximately 15%. So 3600 watts. So this one is actually lower. What is this one here? 40 terahashes per second of computing power at 3600 watts. I don't think that's very good. But I thought there was another one. I could be wrong. But yeah, I mean, if they're looking at a 15% reduction in power consumption, that's still pretty significant.
Yeah.
But anyways, we had a nice pump this last week in the market as well. I think we hit as high as almost 45.
Yeah, we about kissed 45 before it started to decline.
On TradingView, it looks like we got up to 45,344. And then we had Jerome Powell. I think he had testified before, was it the Senate? And then he went the following day to Congress. And he basically said, you know, I think that whenever you, have you ever watched any of those stupid things wherever they hash somebody through the, you know, those rooms and they just talk over and over and over and they all ask the same damn questions, just in different ways? Because I think all those congressmen, I mean, you see it whenever you have those big congressional hearings or whatever. They, I swear to God, it reminds me of your aging population inside of a certain organization that just want to have their voice heard. Like they just want to talk for the sake of talking. And they will ask the same question over and over and over in a slightly different way. Just because they want to ask the question. They didn't want their constituent or, you know, their partner from Pennsylvania to be the only one that asked the question. I've got to ask my question too, even if it's the same damn question. And basically they're asking Jerome Powell what the outlook was. Are they going to continue to raise interest rates with all this stuff with Ukraine? And what is that going to do to the money supply and all this other stuff? Like, he doesn't know. He's going to be playing it ear, you know, by ear as things are happening for the most part. I mean, they can have their predictions and stuff like that, but basically I think Congress was like wanting him to be like, oh, we're not going to raise interest rates is what it seems like. Right. Because they're benefiting from all this crazy inflation of the money from their investments.
Well, they're not the ones who have to pay for it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So basically they kept on grilling him. Are they going to raise interest rates? And he said, yes. And that's supposed to happen this month. And yep, it was after that word came out, which I don't know why anybody was shocked by it. I don't know if maybe some of the institutional market players were thinking that maybe with what's going on in the middle, or I was going to say the Middle East, in Eastern Europe, if that's going to make them put a hold on that, just to, we got to get the machine going.
Yeah. Too skittish to put the brakes on their economic power.
Yep. But when you have interest rates the way that they are, or not interest rates, but the inflation rate the way that it is, you've got to start doing something. And so they're going to raise it by a quarter, a percent this month.
And that's allegedly.
Allegedly. That's when we saw the market kind of do a tumble after that nice little bump up, which that bump up was interesting because that was after all those sanctions got put down on Russia, right?
Yeah, and most other markets were kind of going down. So, I don't know. It's kind of fascinating watching because none of us really know how the market's going to react in this situation, you know?
Yeah.
We're in virgin territory.
No, this is unreal times. And I mean, it always gets my tinfoil hat going whenever you see inflation jumping the way that it is. And we always know that, I mean, when the economy's down, war is always a good thing. But the scary thing is that, you know, if you've got to look at a war type situation, usually the reason why your economy starts to recover is because manufacturing goes through the roof. We don't manufacture here anymore.
No.
Do you think we could ever manufacture again? Like, I mean, do you think that could be brought back quickly?
Quickly? I don't think so.
No?
No, I mean, I think there's several things that are kind of against it. One thing about having a lot of manufacturing in a region is that it does create a lot of pollution. And, you know, being able to fight pollution is kind of a bourgeois thing. You know, you need to get to a certain level before you can do that. That's why China is like just, you don't want to breathe the air there.
Yeah, right.
It's just awful. And then, you know, there's stories about the rivers that you could light on fire in the back in the 40s and 50s and 60s. In America, it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I think we've gotten used to having a certain standard of just pollution. I don't think the kids that are coming up today, well, just the young people that would come up and need to fill those jobs, they would have no clue what to do. I don't know if they could actually do it.
You don't think so?
I mean, if, especially young kids, like their whole game now is to become some social media influencer, some Twitch streamer, some Instagram hoe. I mean, that's kind of what young people
that's what they look aspire up to. Yeah. Did you see that tweet from Elon Musk that he just put out yesterday?
I did not.
He was talking about how, and I just mean, considering it's coming from Elon, I think it was interesting. He said, we need to start increasing oil and gas production like now.
Yes.
I mean, and considering he's the electric EV guy, you should have seen the green piece people like on his thread that were all over him about how great he is for doing the electric thing. Like they, like, I swear their heads were exploding that he was putting that out there.
Well, you know, something that most people didn't realize is, when Russia invaded Ukraine, that was on the 24th, on the February 24th, on the 23rd, Biden suspended any new natural gas leases, you know, oil, natural gas leases on federal lands permanently, or like he put a stop to any new leases.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know why you would do that when Russia's building up their troops on the border, looking like they're going to invade Ukraine, and we buy a shitload of oil from Russia, too.
Yeah.
We were independent for a while. We've always bought some oil for Russia, but we were also exporting oil to other countries.
Right.
But in the past year, you know, we've basically doubled, or if not tripled, how much we purchased from Russia.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, Russia's been a big, big supplier to energy in the West, or, you know, Western Europe. Especially,
yeah, Germany. I mean, they basically live off of Russia's fuel.
Yeah, I think it's like something like 60% of Germans' energy comes from Russia.
Yeah,
that's not so. I mean, so even when Germany finally started putting in sanctions, that's not an easy thing on their country either.
Absolutely not. Matter of fact, there's even talks where they're not going to get kicked out of SWIFT and stuff. So, because I think for Germans, it's just too much to swallow.
Yeah, that's going to be too hard.
But they put themselves in that place. I mean, you don't get make yourself totally dependent on Russia. And it I mean, everyone talks about Putin as he's some type of boogeyman. And but, you know, you're going to make all your energy reliant practically on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hard to paint him. I mean, well, and I don't know. I always felt for a while there that he was just going to be part of the world union, and he was going to keep Russia proud and keep Russia like as Russia. But I didn't think he was going to start doing some of this stuff. I mean, although this is not completely unheard of. So I don't know. Let's see what else we're going to talk about here. What do we got going on? What's your current price prediction for where Bitcoin's going next? Do you think the world is seeing the necessity for Bitcoin, especially nowadays after what we saw in Canada and what we're seeing currently with, like, in Ukraine and in Russia?
I mean, I think there's a lot of people who are kind of waking up to that fact.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think governments are also waking up to that fact, and they're going to try and put a stop to it. So I think things are going to get kind of dicey here shortly.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's one thing when, you know, you've always heard the stories about how, you know, well, the beautiful thing about Bitcoin is nobody can stop it, blah, 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 blah. And then you finally started to see it actually happen in practice, where you saw in Canada where people's bank accounts, these people did nothing legitimately wrong. They helped support a protest. And yeah, their bank accounts were getting frozen because they were, it's not their money, it's the government's money, basically, right?
Yeah, basically what it's telling them.
Uh-huh. And you're starting to see the same thing now in Ukraine. You're starting to see the same thing in Russia, where, I mean, you've got a Russian who was trying to save money to get out of Russia. They'd saved up $10,000. $10,000, I guess, American equivalent, right? And now it's worth $5,000 over the past 2 days. You know, and then they can't access it anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. It's just going to be, I think there's people who are waking up to it. I think governments are going to try and put a stop to it. So which direction it goes from here, I have no clue. I think, generally speaking, it's going to go sideways. It'll probably be back up in the 45 range here shortly and then back down to 40.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be in that window for a little while, unless something major happens in the world. And it just seems like every time you wake up, there's something major happening. So
I'm sick of living through all these historic events. You know, what's funny is, I mean, it's just, it keeps on, like, it's weird because it's just like, how can we up this? And they keep on finding ways. I mean, the world keeps on finding a way to do it.
Yeah. I don't know. We're addicts to some type of weird, I don't know, fear and greed and just something that's going on in the whole world. Anytime you think you've seen enough, or I've about had it to here. It's like, no, you're going to have it up to here next. And you're going to like it.
And you're going to like it. There's not a darn thing you can do about it. Yeah.
That's right.
It's just, I don't know where all this is heading. I really don't. I mean, I don't know if anybody really does. I mean, maybe in some ways, but.
Well, one thing I do think is going to happen is there is going to be some type of U.S. government seizure of cryptocurrency exchanges. So if you have money on an exchange, you need to get it off soon.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even if you don't want to get rid of all of it, get a majority of it off there.
Yes. If you're still playing with a little bit, that's fine. But
yeah, you need to pull the rest off there. Yeah, because I mean, a lot of people in the crypto space, like, I mean, I saw a tweet today and it was like an iceberg, right? And it says my bank account, and it's just got this little tip peeking out, and then it's got your crypto portfolio, and then it's just this huge mass underneath, right? And if that's the case, you need to make sure and protect that.
I'm not quite that point, but, you know, it's pretty all right.
It's pretty all right. Yeah, well, I lost mine in that ocean accident. Fishing thing, whatever. I'm not for it.
Yeah, if we need to go boating this weekend, Hans.
Yeah, we do. Toss our keys and ledgers over the side. But yeah, was there anything else you wanted to bring up? Or
No, I think that's pretty good. And hopefully we'll be a little bit more consistent going forward.
Yeah, I apologize. I was kind of under the weather this week, and we still didn't see Biden introduce his crypto law, whatever that was going to be.
Yeah, I think Russia kind of interrupted some things.
Yeah, no, for sure. You did see, I think there was like, was it something like $30 million was donated to Ukraine through crypto?
Really?
Yeah. Which is actually, that's pretty impressive. There was a lot of money that got pushed their way. So they've been trying to spread that out to their people so they have resources and money to barter with, which is good. And then Elon Musk got him internet like immediately. So
Starlink.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. And but he did, he put out a warning to him the other day. So many funny things. He put out a warning to him the other day that, you know, right now there's internet basically is down in Ukraine. So if they are using Starlink, to only use it sparingly because they can become a target at that point if they see that the signal is getting turned on at this, you know, specific locations. So just to be wary of that and just use it only when you absolutely have to. Absolutely. And then did you see the Russian, I don't know what you would call him, the head of the Russian space program or whatever. He was talking smack about how they were going to stop selling rockets to America, the United States.
I didn't see that.
So he put out, of course, it's always, I don't know how the hell these people all just tweet stuff. He tweeted out how we're no longer selling rocket engines to the United States. We don't know how they'll get up into space. Maybe they'll just ride broomsticks. And so Elon tweeted back, of course, and he's like, here's the American broomsticks. And of course he's showing his SpaceX rockets going up, launching more satellites. Like he's like, yeah, there's our broomsticks. There you go, buddy. He's a character, man.
I don't know. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. You guys can email us at contact@thebitbytepodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and sign up for our newsletter once that finally gets going. I know we're horrible, but we do thank you guys for listening. And stay safe out there.
Yep. Remember, duck and cover.
Duck and cover. Point your head towards the explosion so that way you go right away.
Absolutely.
Bye, guys.